And on today's Windy City Queercast, Stephen Raiders with me, my Southern brother. And we're talking about Southerners. We're maybe not so nice, or maybe it's just that we're a bit hypocritical. Who knows? Stephen had eyebrow piercing. Did you know that? And also, he wants to have a slew of kids, just like Angelina and Brad. Somebody died and somebody was born. Those are both hot topics today on our show. And we talk about the 4th of July, what we did over the weekend, plus what's some of our summer fun television pleasures are during the summer months and what's coming up that we're so excited about. It's a big, fat, independent show.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 224. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Stephen Raider.
How are you, Stephen?
I'm doing good. Rested.
You're rested?
Yeah. Hello.
I love that you're rested because you've been working your tail off.
It's been, well, you know, when I'm busy, that means the organization I work for, Season of Concern, is making money.
Yeah.
So that's a very good thing. So.
Now, you would not think this would be a really busy time for Season of Concern. I always think that the Christmas holiday season, when you're going to the theaters and asking people to give to people living with HIV and AIDS for direct care, that's what your organization does. So exactly. The summer is equally as busy?
You know, it didn't used to be. I mean, and people still really primarily, we make most of our money, I'd say, between Thanksgiving and the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
Because most of the theaters, well, a lot of the theaters in town collect, and it really adds up. But, you know, I've been trying since I came on board to, you know, put little tent poles throughout the year so that we don't wait until the end of our fiscal year to make, you know, over, you know, 57 or 60% of our money for the year. So, you know, it always helps us to have a little bit of diversification in funds. God, I sound like I know what I'm talking about, don't
you? You do. You sound so legit. I can't believe that you actually slum and hang out with me on the Queercast. Seriously.
It's funny. I mean, I don't ever believe, I would never have thought that I would be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Never took a class in it, never studied it, just sort of did it on the fly, you know? So, I mean, do you ever have any idea that you'd be doing sort of radio, podcasting, all this advertisement, you know?
No, I never thought I'd be a professional lesbian. No, never in a million years. If you had told me back when I was in Tennessee that I would be a professional lesbian, I would have told you were bonkers and just loco, just Looney Tunes. No, I can't even imagine. And the hardest thing is, you know, it's holiday weekend and happy 4th to you.
Happy 4th.
And to everybody, happy Independence Day. And, you know, it's really strange because I had people over for the 4th, and then I was just around different groups of people as just clumps of people around holiday weekends, aren't there? And I hate when people ask me what I do. And it's not because I'm closeted. It's just, it's extremely hard to tell people what I do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, I do this, and then I do that, and then I do a little bit of this, and a whole lot of that, you know? And it's so confusing. But
my,
it's not
to me. My first director in college, that I ever worked with, this woman named Lou Anne Purcell, said that whenever she would bring her parents to see the shows she had directed, they would always say, so what do you do? And she would go, well, I did that.
Yeah.
But what did you do?
What did you do? Well,
I did that. And it's sort of hard to explain certain, you know, jobs, you know, it's very difficult.
Did you relax all 4th of July? Did you just take time?
No, I saw some friends and I was kind of running around and then I just sort of got a lot of catch up work done.
Good.
And it's been really kind of nice.
Yeah.
I was kind of behind the eight ball. I still will be in some ways, but it was kind of nice.
Yeah. I kind of, am having a tough time heading into a new work week. That's all I got to say.
I've watched 1776 that my TiVo picked up from Turner Classic Movies about 4 times.
How many?
About 4 times.
Oh, my God.
I can't stop watching it. It's great.
God love you.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, what, Blythe Danner, what do you want?
I know. I saw Betty Buckley, and she sang her songs from, well, she sang her song from 1776, which was her Broadway debut. She was like, I'm entirely too old to sing this, but I'm going to sing this. And then she sang Mama Look Sharp.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant. Made me cry.
The best.
So beautiful. Such an amazing song, especially now while we're at war.
And, I thought the exact same thing, and I thought someone should sing it for a flip-flop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good idea, huh?
See? Write it down.
Write it down. Note to self.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have to say that the weekend, too, was just gorgeous in Chicagoland. If you're listening to us and you don't live in Chicago, we had absolute perfect weather on the 4th of July. And throughout the weekend, I played some tennis. I went swimming. I hung out in my yard. I entertained. I have grilled anything that will let me fling it onto the grill. Seriously. It's been fantastic, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Went to the
gorgeous
beach. I've really enjoyed Chicago. That's what I got to say in 3 days.
Amen, brother. It's gorgeous. We think we get, like, what, 2 of these days a year? Maybe 3?
Yeah. And we've
it's going to be cold tomorrow, right?
No, we've had countless beautiful days. I think it's heating up. I think it's heating up this week.
You better knock on something right friggin' now.
I just did. There you go. Hey, you know what really gave us our independence this weekend, and I don't think many people will hate me for saying it that way, is that the last of the great North Carolinian bigots died this weekend. Jesse Helms died.
Mm-hmm. Could you have planned that? I mean, come on.
You couldn't have planned that.
I was amazed at there was such a reading all the blogs, there were so many just rants and so much, you know, people, Ding Dong the Witch is Dead and all of that stuff. And I'd sort of assumed that people had, moved on or had thought of other, you know, zealots or what have you. But he still inspires such strong feelings and hatred. And it was really...
Well, he was just anti-everything I'm about. I mean, he hated artistic expression. He hated the homos. He and Strom Thurmond both had their issues with race. I mean, they were just... they're hopefully the last bastion of that good old boy where... They're not the last bastion. They're the last bastion who think they can actually say it out loud.
That's true.
They're all still there.
Yeah, well, see, we come down from that area of town, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We know those good old boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. I still think the good old boys sort of rule the roost. I mean, how many presidents have we had in the last, 20 years maybe, who didn't have a Southern background?
Oh,
a Southern accent, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Reagan thought he was a cowboy, so whatever that meant to.
Exactly. And he had Nancy. But there's something about good old boys that we sort of inspire, I guess. I don't know.
Americana?
I guess so, you know. But I'll tell you, and you'll agree with me on this, I don't think Strom really did it, but we are some nasty people, we Southerners.
You think we're nasty people?
Don't you think? Well, I think we're nasty because, you know, there's that line from Dangerous Liaisons that we can stick a knife in the back of our hand and smile at the dinner table. I mean, I learned all that.
Yep.
And so it's, you learn how to talk in codes.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I just think we're sadists. I mean, we're masochists. I don't know that we're nasty people. I just think our pain threshold is so fucking high. And we're extremely dishonest at core. Because we've been taught that you don't say what you think. Mm-hmm. And you're pleasant to everyone. And at least, you know, I think people down south are far more dishonest with their emotions and feelings.
Oh, I agree. I think they know what they are, but there's that sense of we don't do this.
It's unpleasant.
You know, when I don't know if you knew me when I had my eyebrow pierced. Did you know me then?
I think maybe right when I met you, you had your eyebrow pierced.
It was a bad choice, but but I had one, so I did it right before the holidays, and I went home. It sort of to cause crap because that's what I did or do, and. So I walked into my mother's family's, Christmas Eve get together, and there's 40, 50 people. Nobody said a word, not a word. And I was so distraught about it. And we left, and I looked at my mother and I was like, "Do you believe this? Like, no one said a word." And she was like, "Well, of course not." And I have metal sticking out of my head, and no one said a thing. And she said, "Son, have you been away for that long? If we don't talk about it, it doesn't exist now." And I was like, "Oh, of course, of course." You know, you forget when we move away that there's a way to talk and there's a way things are done.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess those people, I don't know, they sort of went around it. But I think good old boys still rule the roost, baby. Well, we're here. Look at us. Come on.
We're here. That's true.
Trash. Come on.
That's true. Hey, we need to tell you some of what's going on in the news, and then I've got a hot breaking news story that Stephen and I will talk about right when we come back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, flavor.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. An anti-gay marriage amendment will appear on the November ballot in Arizona. The state's Senate narrowly approved the measure on June 27th. The measure will place a referendum asking voters to decide whether or not to ban same-sex marriage. In 2006, Arizona was the first and only state to ever reject a marriage amendment. This time around, only 16 senators approved of the measure, which was the minimum requirement to get it on the ballot.
For the first time, Canadian military personnel were allowed to march in the Pride Parade recently held in Toronto. Members of the Canadian Armed Forces were allowed to march in the parade wearing their uniforms. The Canadian military overturned its anti-gay policies in 1992.
The demand for marriage licenses in California continues to rise. A recent survey shows that the demand for marriage licenses is up 250%. Over 8,500 marriage licenses to both straight and gay couples were issued since June 17th, the first week gay marriage was legal in California.
Two Michigan teens are accused of beating a lesbian classmate. A video of two female high school students attacking a classmate was made and posted online. The attack was also caught on school security camera. The victim said she thinks the attack occurred because of her sexual orientation. A pretrial hearing was set for July 21st.
Gay and lesbian Australians are coming to the U.S. to seek surrogates. Just one Los Angeles fertility clinic has helped over 125 Aussie gay couples find U.S. surrogate moms and now helps roughly 6 to 8 couples a month. In Australia, having a child through a surrogate mother is illegal for gay and lesbian couples.
A Virginia gay couple who obtained a marriage license in Newport News Circuit Court will not be charged for providing false information. While applying for the license, one of the men dressed as a woman and provided the name Justine. Officials later realized that they provided a gay couple a marriage license. Officials dropped any charges because they could not prove whether the couple intended to deceive officials.
Gay media watchdog group GLAAD is not pleased with the summer blockbuster Hancock starring Will Smith because his character uses the word homo three times, only 24 minutes into the film. Jason Bateman's character shows Hancock three comic book images of superheroes in order to inspire him. Hancock rejects the images, saying, "Homo, homo in red, Norwegian homo." GLAAD says the use of the word sends a problematic message that it's okay to discriminate using such hateful words.
And bisexual reality star Tila Tequila recently found herself with egg on her face when she was rejected by contestant Christy, who was her number one pick on the finale of A Shot at Love 2 with Tila Tequila. Tequila chose Christy over male finalist Bo. However, Christy refused the key to her heart, saying, "If I take this key, I'm not being true." Christy said she was too scared and confused to accept the key.
And that's the Weekend News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Welcome to Can Camp,
America's premier summer camp for GLBT adults. Dozens of daily activities like swimming, softball, and tennis. And special evening programs every night.
The tea dance was a lot of fun.
I love the barn dance. That's my favorite part of camp.
The talent show. I absolutely love the talent show.
Remember when summer was the best time ever?
Well, it still is.
Camp Camp.
August 24th through the 31st. Visit campcamp.com.
Stephen Thomas Beatty, the trans man,
yes.
Not the trans am, but the trans man, had a baby girl this past weekend.
Oh, wow.
People will know that, well, actually on July 3rd, on Thursday, Thomas is 34 years old. He and his wife, Nancy, she was unable to conceive, so he had always known he wanted to carry a child, and he was impregnated, made an Oprah appearance. I guess it's pretty official after that, and just had the baby, and they hail from Bend, Oregon, where I guess they bend the rules out there in Bend, Oregon. But this was
and the
really
baby's fine, and everyone else is fine.
Everybody is good, and, I mean, it's really pretty big news, I think, for the trans community, for the GLBT community, and, many, many trans people told Thomas and Nancy not to go public with this, and they obviously did the exact opposite because they appeared on Oprah. That's about as public as it gets.
Hello. What do you want? I'm glad that they did. It was sort of a piece of like, you know, it was the Scooby-Doo when I first heard it. And then when you read the story, you go, oh, this is lovely.
Yeah.
Two people who love each other want to bring a child into the world. What's wrong? And there's a way for them to do it. What's the problem? But everyone seemed to go cray-cray about it. You know, there was so much, calling people freaks and da-da-da-da-da. And it really, you know, a lot of the homophobia and just sort of eked out all over the place. Even from people in our community, really.
No, I know. And it's really hard sometimes because the trans community is so ostracized often, even within the GLBT community. But I thought it was so shocking when I heard that other trans people told them not to go public with this, that America is not ready, the world is not ready for this story. And it is pretty shocking to see Thomas with a beard and, you know, flat chest and pregnant and photographed entirely, you know, topless. seeing the stomach and the whole thing, it's jarring and at the same time kind of exciting in a
extremely exciting.
Awesome way.
You know, I think that we have a big chasm in our community for people in the trans community. And I just remember very well, I had two very good friends, and I think one of them passed away from AIDS a while back, but one of them was sort of beginning the transition, and we worked in this mall, and we were in the food court, and people just kept staring and staring and staring. And, you know, she was very upset about it. And my other friend, who was a very loud, obnoxious, you know, Southern queen, finally just stood up and looked at all the people staring and went, "Do we scare you?" And that was it. Then everyone sort of turned around. But I can't imagine going through, like, they have, you know what I mean? They have so many things that they have to go against, and even in our own community.
Yeah.
You know? It's really horrible. But I'm so glad everyone is healthy, and I need to go and, like, Google and see if there's a picture of the baby. Was there a picture of the baby?
I don't know. I'll have to try to see if I can find one and post it with the show notes for this one. Because I think it's a huge celebration in our eyes, and I think that, or in my eyes. And I think even the work that Oprah did in talking about the pregnancy was really
incredible.
Huge. You know, it's really, really, really huge what she's done this past year in trying to stamp out the ignorance and ask the questions and
completely
take down all the walls that people think divide us and can say, well, that's freakish, that's weird, that's unnatural, that's wrong, and that's not like me.
But because, see, the I best mean, part... Go ahead. No, I was going to say the best part about the story is that here's two people who love each other who want to have a child.
Yeah.
If I had the ability to have a child right now, oh my God, absolutely.
Would you?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
So you want a kid?
Yeah, very much so. Very, very much so.
So why don't you adopt?
Well, you know, I really would like to do it with someone.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of, you know, waiting for that to happen. And that's happening, you know, about as well as gas prices and, you know, what have you. I just don't want to do it alone. My brother has actually said that my brother's gay, and that he would like to set in motion an adoption by the time he's 40.
Yeah.
So he's just 3 years younger than I am, you know, and I'm 26.
Right.
So, no, but, you know, I've always wanted, when I was very 10, 15 years ago, I attended a seminar about gay adoption, you know, and I really wanted to do it. I really want to have children. And it seemed, you know, not in my personality, what have you.
Do you care if it's a boy or a girl?
Not at all. Not at all.
And would you adopt a non-infant?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Very much so. You know, I feel like my parents gave so much to my brother and I, and I would like to sort of, you know, carry on that trend. You know, there's something to me about, you know, I don't know, there's something about that bond, about, you know, parents giving on to children and sort of letting them do a little bit more than you were able to do. My parents both did that. They really gave us a better life.
Yeah.
So, plus I just, you know, for some reason I've always wanted, I love kids. I love kids. Obviously, I wouldn't be doing so much damn children's theater if I didn't love kids, but I really, really want to have a child, if not two.
Okay, I want you and Mitchell Fain to have children. I've said it. I've said it on the Queercast. It's happening.
Are we adopting you and Kelly? Is that it?
No, I want you to have your own little children because I want to be I just want to be a good aunt. I do not have that tick.
Oh, really?
I really don't have it, and it makes me feel a bit freaky. I feel, as a woman, like I should have that clock, and I don't have it, and yet, intellectually, I can go, I could have a kid. I could have a kid intellectually, but when women, gay or straight, talk about, and I think in a strange way, you know, they talk about it in a way that is so, it's a visceral thing, I don't know, it's a gut thing, and
oh, yeah.
I just don't have that. I can see kids and I can think they're really cute, but it doesn't manifest that my head can see that in the long term. But I haven't had a lot of time around little kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe that's why too. I don't know.
They're so great. I mean, there's something about them. People always think that when you do a kid show, I had a guy say to me a while back, "Oh, that must be really simple. That's like nothing." And I went, "Obviously, you've never performed for children."
Yeah.
Because they don't give you an inch.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
Yeah.
And so if you're not at 115%, go home.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be with you. And they will absolutely tell the truth. And I think they're wonderful. They're just wonderful. Of course, you know, they're just what they are. What we're doing, Aladdin, and I love asking them what their favorite part of the show is. And you can tell what a child's going to become just by their answer. Like certain little girls will go, I liked when Jasmine married Aladdin, you know. Or one little boy, I said, what's your favorite part of the show? And he went, Jasmine.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Well, she's pretty, isn't she? She's very pretty. Just you go, oh, there they are. There they are. I just adore them. I adore them.
Aww, now, and how many of them want to be the genie?
Exactly.
Then you see you can see the boys and girls with their theatrical flair.
Oh,
I
yes. want
to be your part.
They do that. Or the ones that are really, I think the gay ones do this. What's your favorite part of the show? You. You got it. Or they'll say this. The end. That's my favorite thing.
The end. Oh,
the end.
Funny. Well, hey, before we get to the end, let's tell you what is going on in the theater scene. There's still some great shows in town. It's such a good time this summer to go see theater. And also, Richard Knight is going to take us to the movies.
The critics call it a blockbuster, a phenomenon, a show that makes you laugh, cry, and think. Audiences call it the most thrillifying theatrical experience of a lifetime. Now, at Chicago's Ford Center Oriental Theater, you can discover for yourself that everything you've heard about Wicked is true. Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz, the musical that changed Chicago for good.
Boss's favorite team, the Wizard and Lair.
Are you ready to meet the Wizard? Call Ticketmaster.com today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 7th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Now playing at Steppenwolf in the Upstairs Theater, Dead Man's Cell Phone by Sarah Rule. The Reader says it's hilarious and delightful, and the Tribune calls it fearless and surreal. Dead Man's Cell Phone, a quirky modern adventure about a long-distance journey into the mysteries of life. For tickets, visit steppenwolf.org.
Writers Theater presents The Lion in Winter by James Goldman, directed by Rick Snyder. The Wall Street Journal calls it one of the finest shows in recent seasons, not just in Chicagoland, but in all of America. And the Chicago Tribune calls it a juicy revival. For tickets and more about The Lion in Winter, log on to writerstheater.org.
Infectious, white hot, says Time Out Chicago. Gender bending magic, says Performink. And Windy City Times agrees it's a moon dance for a marvelous night. Mid Tangent Productions presents their fourth and final production of the underground hit A Midsummer Night's Dream, A Queer Tale. Playing through August 3rd at the National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Get your tickets at tix.com. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind. A Midsummer Night's Dream, A Queer Tale.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. 30 years after receiving international acclaim for the gory, sensual, and visually stunning horror film Suspiria, Italian filmmaker Dario Argento has at last completed the third part of his supernatural horror trilogy with The Mother of Tears. The three films, Part 2 Inferno, was released in 1980, are the loosely connected stories of three ancient witches, the three mothers, who use their black magic to rain death and destruction on the world. The films are all shot in that giallo style, and Argento is often described as the father of the genre. Giallo, G-I-A-L-L-O, is the Italian word used to describe a genre of horror filmmaking that incorporates graphic, extended murder sequence with tons of bloodletting, usually of women, stylish camera work, baroque settings, and highly theatrical music scores. By that definition, Argento's The Mother of Tears is the mother of giallo movies. It's also an incomprehensible mess. It turns campy, sexy, silly, overtly gory, and for fleeting seconds here and there, even scary. In short, a very entertaining fiasco. The plot, such as it is, follows Sarah Mandy, played by Asia Argento, the director's daughter, who plays an art student in Rome who unwittingly opens the recently discovered urn of La Terza Madre, the Mother of Tears, thus unleashing her tremendous evil powers. Aided by a series of white witches, Sarah slowly learns that she alone has the power to destroy the bad mother, who is holed up in the catacombs under her decaying villa, drawing hordes of eager, orgy-seeking witches and warlocks to her side. The movie is just as gruesome as the torture porn of Saw and Hostel, but the violence here is so audacious and so far-fetched it becomes almost comical, believe it or not. Though not on a par visually or orally with Suspiria or the earlier Bird with the Crystal Plumage, The Mother of Tears has plenty to offer both bloodthirsty audiences, style junkies, and camp horror enthusiasts. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you, so go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know that I've been down this road before.
So, Stephen, during the summer, you know, I have all of these summer television shows that really make me happy. Like, So You Think You Can Dance, which I've gushed about enough probably on this show, though I am absolutely obsessed with it. Project Runway starting up in about a week. Mad Men starting up in about 2.5 weeks.
Did you know what else we've talked about?
What?
I just saw it in my, is it Instinct magazine a little while back? Sordid Lives, the series.
Sordid Lives, the series is coming on. That is true.
Can't wait. And Rue McClanahan is in it. Y'all. Can't wait.
I can't wait. She's playing,
She's
Peggy.
Playing, she's playing the character that dies in the movie.
That's right.
Because it's a prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's which means Brother genius. Boy's, like, locked away, which is interesting, so.
Yeah. We are going to have Leslie Jordan on our show here in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
to talk about the Sordid Lives.
I tell you, if he ever does his one-man show here again in town, you have to go.
Or anywhere, if you're in a city and you see it.
It's freaking brilliant.
It was hilarious, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's our life, basically.
Yes, it is. It's really my life because my dad was really big into horses. When my father, you know, found out who Leslie Jordan was through Will and Grace and my brother and I talking about him, and we showed my family Sordid Lives. And he's from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad knew his dad.
Oh, my
they
God.
Were all in the horse community together in East Tennessee.
Do you ride?
I used to ride. My dad didn't really have, well, his big thing was racehorses, but growing up, he had American Saddle and other horses. That's what I rode. I rode American Saddle.
Oh, wow. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds fancy.
No, it's not that fancy. It's not really equestrian. It's probably like the Poe Man's equestrian, but it's not barrel. You don't have the Western saddle with the big knob. You just have a low-lying saddle, and I did some jumping. And then my dad was big into also the hackney horses it's a very dangerous sport. You have those two wheels, and you're got a stretched piece of canvas, and you're kind of sitting with your legs in a Y out on that piece of canvas, and the horse is pulling. You're being pulled by the horse.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But his big thing was thoroughbreds. So when I was growing up, I was always down in Florida. And the only reason I knew Chicago was because of the racetrack.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
I
but he talked so much about thoroughbred and racing because those old lesbian women, right? Because he was going to be a jockey because he's so damn little.
Mm-hmm.
So they all crossed paths. It's very, very funny.
I love when he talks about one of those women said something about, you know, they'd all go out to do work and she'd call him back in. And when she wanted him to pour the bourbon or whatever, she'd say, "It's just about kickoff time." It's everybody in my family and then some. I love it. But yeah. What else is there that you're watching? What else are you watching this summer?
Well, I am wanting to know if you've watched this new show called Swing Town.
Everybody has told me about this.
Have they?
I haven't watched it. Yes. I've had three people say, "Oh, I've got to go home and watch Swing Town."
Well, because it's about swingers in 1970.
Oh, I'm in a completely different world. No, sorry.
78, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the wrong show, but go ahead. I've heard about this one too.
Oh, okay. And but it takes place in Winnetka. I think it's Winnetka. It's somewhere north of Chicago, but Chicago's the city, so they're going to the Playboy Club, and you know they're working at the Chicago Board of Trade. One of the guys, and the other one's a pilot at O'Hare, and it was written by this person who's probably around our age, who grew up in the 70s, and based on the parties and things that he remembered his mom and dad having in their kind of affluent neighborhood.
Oh,
so
wow.
it's quite funny. I don't know if you haven't watched it. It's
I have to put this on my TiVo.
Yeah, you have to. Swing Town. I highly recommend it. It's not the world's greatest show, but it is definitely some fun for summer fare.
It's got some beautiful
women in it. And I think it's got some hunky guys in it. I don't know what you all would think.
Hello, it's swingers. What do you want?
You might need. Well, last week's episode was all about Deep Throat and Harry Reams being, when he was being, during Watergate, they kind of distracted everybody with Deep Throat and all the conservatives. We're going to arrest him or put him in jail for doing the movie Deep Throat for being the actor in it. And he was just an actor with obviously a big cock. And
you got my attention. What?
There you go. But I guess they pitched the show to some of the cable networks and they didn't pick it up because they had like Big Love and HBO had Big Love and I think L Word was on Showtime and I don't know. They just felt like they kind of had these relationship shows. So it's on network television, so they don't show anything, but it's awfully fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, see, I'm just addicted to Kathy Griffin over the summer. That's all I watch.
Yeah?
I freaking cannot get enough of her. I love her.
Did she
love
win
her.
The Emmy? She did, right? And that's
she did.
She,
oh, my, are you kidding? You know, and you know what's great about that? Is the place that had, you know, she said, "No, suck it, Jesus. This award is my God now."
Right.
Because Jesus had nothing to do with her award.
Right.
The place that put out the huge, like, $20,000, $10,000 ad in the USA Today. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Of course.
Yeah, around the corner from where I grew up. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've actually driven by the theater. Yeah. The was it Miracle Theater or something like that?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yes. Oh, you should come with me. Oh, we should go.
Let's go. We still need to do a podcast from Dollywood, but I have to have Di go with us so we can video camera it because it's just, it's the eye candy that we have to be there for.
Amen. You know, my friend Aaron is going back this year and performing over the holidays in, Babes in Toyland or something. So I was there last Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Have my season pass. Yes, I do.
Okay.
We're going.
I have to go with you. How much fun would that be?
I'm there.
So on our next show, we're going to have Julie Goldman. She is the lesbian, and I guess we'd call her the butch, on the Big Gay Sketch Show on Logo. And she is coming to town, so I'm very excited about her. She's a really, really, really funny, funny, funny lady. And anything you're looking forward to this week, Stephen?
Well, let's see. Actually, not a heck of a lot. It's kind of nice and calm.
Good.
Very, very calm. What about you?
I need to have a yard sale.
I need to have a yard sale.
I do.
What are you going to sell, dear?
I've got so much stuff in my basement to sell. It's crazy.
You going to sell Mitchell Fain? I'm there. What do you want?
Mitchell's not home yet, but maybe I would have an auction for him.
An auction?
Yeah.
Come on.
To the highest bidder.
Can I just go in first and, like, you know, buy it now? That kind of thing?
Yep.
Buy it now. Put him on eBay.
I'll put him on eBay. He's so damn cute. He could be the father to your slew of children.
Can you imagine? Redneck, Jewish, hilarious. Wouldn't that be great?
Y'all would be hilarious. And I think you should have six kids and you should adopt one from each country. You all should be the gay Brad and Angelina.
No, you know what we should do is we should adopt a child from every place that's listed in that song Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
Oh.
Rebecca, Jamaica.
Yeah, Ooh, I Want to Take You. Where's that? Ooh, I Want to Take You.
I don't know.
To Bermuda, Bahamas.
I love that. My favorite thing about Mitchell, one of those Windy City Gay Idols we did.
Uh-huh.
Some redhead got up and I said to Mitchell, you know, very, you know, off the microphone, you know, does the carpet match the curtains? So Mitchell grabs the mic when the guy finishes singing and says, Stephen wants to know, do the drapes match the curtains? Mitchell, the drapes are the curtains, all right? She's pretty, but, you know, sometimes she's not so bright. You know?
She's awfully cute, though. And I miss Mitchell.
I do. He's probably out having some Greek love or something right now.
I told him to get the Greek love all out of his system, and then I'm going to come back and hook you two up. So
how dare you tell him to get the Greek love out of his system before he meets me? Are you crazy?
Or bring some Greek love back and share it with you.
There you go. Thank you.
However y'all want to do it. We were talking about swingers. It might be your all's kind of show. But he'll be back in about 3 weeks, and Mitchell will be back on the show because Miss Alexandra Billings is in Romania.
Oh, she
went.
Nadia
Comaneci, who was featured on Swingtown last week, too.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that Alex went. That's great.
Yes. Well, I don't know if she's flown yet, but she's in the process of flying. She's finishing up in Fresno and then off to Romania. So Mitchell's going to be on with us at the end of July. He doesn't know that yet, but he will be. It's on my calendar, so therefore it will happen.
Hi, Mitchell. Here's your schedule.
Here's your schedule, Mitchell.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back. Now talk. We're recording. Stephen, you'll be back with me for the next show, so we'll catch up more then.
See you then.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.